Hello, welcome to episode 8 of Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. I'm Marlis.
I'm Judy.
I'm John.
All right. Today we're going to do a slightly different format. Instead of having a specific group of whiskeys that we're tasting on air, so to speak, we're going to talk about an event that we went to several days ago. The Chelsea Farms Oyster Bar in Olympia sponsored a whiskey tasting dinner so that we had 5 courses, we had 5 tastes of different scotches with 5 different foods, and it was a really lovely event. Thanks to the management and staff of the Chelsea Farms Oyster Bar, you guys did a wonderful job. And thanks to Cassie from Jim Beam, who came and talked about the whiskeys that we were tasting and gave us a little bit of information on how whiskeys are made and that sort of thing. So anyone else have any general observations or...
No. I had a really nice time. It was fun, and I really enjoyed the company, and the location was pretty nice. I had a good time.
Mm-hmm. It was a lovely day, so they had the window open for most of the night, and it was just... kind of ideal setting. So the first course was Beaumont 12 year with 2 kinds of oysters, both from Chelsea Farms. They were Gems, which were tiny little guys, and Bonitas, which were slightly larger, on the half shell. And
they had smoked nori on the
top. Yeah, a little bit of smoked nori on top, which is seaweed. But the I had never thought of having scotch with oysters. I love oysters.
Or any seafood particularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Cassie, the gal from Jim Beam, said, you know, I think sometimes you can serve stuff together that grows together. So since Beaumont is from Islay, it's right on the coastline and it has that salty, briny sea flavor. And of course, oysters come from the sea also. Mm-hmm. She thought, let's give this a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not one to eat raw oysters, mm-hmm. but I don't eat a lot of, you know, raw animal or fish food, not for any particular reason. It's not just something I don't do in general, but I was game for this because there's quite a bit of rawness in this, mm. in this menu, and I actually, for the most part, enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed the Gems, the smaller oysters. They're nice and sweet,
mm-hmm.
and they were really nice with the scotch. I didn't enjoy the Bonitas as much, but it's because they were more briny. It tasted like I just swallowed the ocean, but I still ate them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I probably would eat them again, because
mm-hmm.
on another day I might like them more. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It might be one of those acquired tastes, kind of like scotch is for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was really good. And who wants to talk about the, what was it called? The Beaumont Luge?
Mm-hmm.
You got it written down?
No, I don't. But I think I can remember it. Yeah, okay. The Beaumont Luge they were described to us was that you would take a sip of Beaumont and then a sip of the brine from the oyster and then a sip of Beaumont and then you would eat the oyster and then you would take another sip of Beaumont. And we had already eaten our oysters by the time they explained it to us. So we did everything but the oyster itself. We tried it with the brine, and it actually was pretty interesting.
Well, and Cody came by and actually poured a little bit of Beaumont in each of our shells because he saw that right. that we were mm-hmm. We'd already eaten our oysters, and I actually took drank the brine out of the. Out of my oyster shell, and that it was actually quite good. I think he didn't pour as much in yours, so you said you mm-hmm. really couldn't taste it mm-hmm. at the time, but I could.
And the
Beaumont, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. No, it was still good, though. I mean, it. I think the Beaumont worked really well with the flavor.
It was great.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that the Bonitas and the Gems, the 2 types of oysters, they started out as the same. And I think the Gems were in more of a surf kind of environment and were actually tumbled around some. And it caused the shells to be like the edges of the shells, you know, broke down a little bit, and it made the oysters a little smaller overall. Mm. And the bonitas, I guess they were in a more still environment, so they were allowed to grow larger.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you were a good listener.
You were.
I don't remember any of that. Possibly it was the scotch that makes me not remember.
But, that could be.
Well, we hadn't had a lot of scotch
yet. No, I know, so, but I still use it as an excuse.
I just thought that was an interesting thing. The size of the different oysters.
Yeah, of the two, the bonitas, they were larger, but they were also, as Judy pointed out, more briny, mm-hmm. more salty, and... in comparison, then, the Beaumont 12 tasted very sweet, mm. you know, so that you had that kind of contrast.
Well, then the sweetness of the gems, mm-hmm. you know, really complemented the sweetness of the... Beaumont.
You know, but then the Beaumont had, you know, what you picked out there was more the brininess mm-hmm. and the saltiness. So either way, you know, they went together really beautifully, mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed that one. And the second course mm-hmm. was Hakushu 12, which is a Japanese whiskey. And it was paired with a gooey duck belly salad. And for those of you who are not from the Pacific Northwest or just not familiar with gooey duck, it's spelled G-E-O-D-U-C-K. It's a shellfish, like a clam. It's very large. It's rather phallic looking when they harvest it from the sea.
Yes.
Google it, but make sure your children aren't around because they might think it's something else. But I love the gooey duck salad, I have to say. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And it had a green apple mm-hmm. and sea bean and morels. Spicy.
And the gooey duck was cooked.
And the gooey duck was
the
cooked.
The sliced gooey duck was cooked.
And it says Ellis Creek spicy greens mm-hmm. and a nori dressing, so a mm-hmm. seaweed dressing. It was fantastic. I love that. And mm-hmm. and it paired really well with the Hakushu 12, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And one thing we found out about, I'd never had Japanese whiskey before, I have mm-mm. to admit. So this was
none
a new thing
had,
for
I
me.
Think.
And it was very different. Very kind of fruity and spicy tasting, and without a lot of the low notes, you know, not much smoke or peat or even oak. And evidently in Japan, you can create whiskey. You don't have to use oak casks. You can use other kinds of wood. So I'm sure that makes a difference in the taste as well. But the salad was amazing. Mm. And the fruit in the whiskey matched the green apples mm-hmm. and the very delicate greens and the vinaigrette. It was really lovely.
Cody and his staff did a great job of doing the food pairings for this whole meal, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm.
What'd you think about the Hakushu and the gooey duck? John, did you have any other thoughts on that?
Nothing really to add. I'm just, you know, to reinforce what you were saying, that the Hakushu worked really well with the greens especially, I thought, and I really enjoyed the morel mushrooms.
Yeah, those morels were
very
great.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and in case you were wondering, because we did ask the waitress what part of the gooey duck was the belly.
Yeah, what is the belly of a gooey duck? You can't tell by looking at it.
No. She said, well, the belly or breast of the gooey duck is not the long siphon part, but the part that is mostly in the shell, only without the innards. So it's probably the more tender, delicate part of the gooey duck.
So apparently in some parts of the world, the innards is considered a delicacy, which doesn't sound very appetizing to me, but you know, I haven't tried it, so I don't want to judge.
I was actually at a marina once when the gooey duck fishermen mm-hmm. came in, and they had crates and crates mm-hmm. and crates of these gooey ducks, and they are big. You know, an adult gooey duck from shell to the end of the siphon can be 8 inches long. I mean, it's a substantial sort of clam. But they are considered a delicacy in most parts of Asia, evidently. And I think we're a surprise to the European settlers when they arrived here.
They're a surprise to most people who've never seen them before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for those people who are not from around here, the Evergreen State College, that is their mascot,
right.
The gooey duck. They are the Evergreen gooey ducks. Mm-hmm. So they have T-shirts with the gooey duck on it.
Uh-huh.
All right. So...
The third course.
The third course. Did you want to talk about the third course, what you thought, John? Because that's your favorite thing, the food was, anyway.
Well, the scotch, or the whiskey, was the Suntory Toki, and they made a cocktail with it.
Which I couldn't tell. I mean, it with the additives, you know, the things that weren't the whiskey, I really couldn't tell. It was very smooth. I didn't.
It was, and I'm not a fan of mixed drinks, but it was very delicate, very light. He didn't mess with the taste of the whiskey that much. You know, he just kind of adapted it.
Well, the Suntory Toki was, it was a very mild kind of
that's what was in it,
whiskey, and it was really good. They actually included a sorrel leaf floating in the whiskey, and it added just a little bit of flavor to it. It was was it a little bit of a bitter flavor?
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. And anyway, they also had, there's a number of different ingredients here.
Some of them are hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
When they say them wrong.
Listau, Manzanilla, Paparusa, Avese, Laird's Mist, and Woodland Sorrel were the things that they added to the drink itself.
Yeah, and they recommended taking a sip of the cocktail and taking a bite out of the sorrel leaf. And that was an interesting flavor.
Yeah.
When I first smelled the cocktail, I thought it smelled like cake for some reason. It didn't taste like cake.
All the additives in there.
Yeah, but right. it was actually very pleasant.
Yeah, and then that was paired with Dungeness Crab, which was mixed with Manchego, Sorrel Cabbage Slaw, and Armando's Toast, which was a very hard, crunchy kind of a toast-like bread, which was very tasty.
It's very tasty.
They used
that toast, I think, throughout the meal for several dishes.
Yeah, and in some cases it was toasted. I think at least.
Yeah,
one time
I think the last,
not,
the last.
Yeah. It was a soft,
the last.
Soft kind
of
bread.
I can't think.
Pairing.
The last. Course.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah.
I just got off work, guys. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
It's been a really long day.
Have some
it's
more
been
scotch.
A long week. And yeah, that was not toasted. It took me that long to say that. Possibly we will cut this out of the podcast. But anyway. But that Dungeness Crab, that was
amazing.
Yeah, I like the cocktail. Like I said, it was all those things were very subtle. So I think it did not cover the whiskey flavor. And Cody did a great job with that cocktail. And
evidently the Suntory Toki, the quote that they had was that all of Suntory lives in Toki. It's kind of their. It's an entry-level Japanese whiskey, but it's very representative of what Suntory does. And it's the whiskey that they actually encourage bartenders to use in mixed drinks and to experiment with. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, and Cody did say if we wanted to taste the whiskey by itself, he would give you a taste, but we neglected to do that. So our bad.
Okay, the next course was the main course, and it was interesting. The scotch was Laphroaig Lore, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then the main course was venison tartare, topped with a cured egg yolk, a little stone ground mustard, and croutons. And then we had house veggies with asparagus, bok choy, red pepper, potatoes, roasted vegetables that were amazing. So I think I have had... you know, beef tartare on occasion. This was my first time with venison, and it was fascinating.
Oh, it was. I don't really think I could say anything bad about venison tartare, and I'm not a raw food eater, though it brought back memories of my childhood. My brother and I my mom would be making hamburgers or meatloaf or something, and she'd have that hamburger out on the kitchen counter, and we would go by and we'd steal a pinch of raw hamburger, and we'd eat it and run off. And she's like, "Stop that! I won't have any left to eat or enough to make dinner." And but this was perfectly seasoned, mm-hmm. perfectly seasoned. You know, not like I'm a, you know, expert on seasoning, but I felt it was perfectly seasoned. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't overwhelm the venison, but it was enough that, you know.
Velvety texture.
It was velvety texture.
Yeah. It was so delicious.
It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, and the house veggies were good too. I ate way more of those potatoes than I should have.
But. Yeah, but they were good. And the Laphroaig Loire. Does anyone have notes on what all goes into that? Oh, it starts out.
I didn't write. There was so much.
It's peaty. It's fruit. It's floral. It's amazing. Smoky. It starts out in 7-year in oak barrels, and then it's in Oloroso sherry casks for a while, and maybe some bourbon casks. I mean, it's almost wine-like. I mean, it has that many flavors and that depth to it. It is just lovely. Someday I want to pounce on a bottle of it and spend all my worldly goods to obtain it.
Maybe we should just put our money together.
Have a tasting of just Laphroaig Loire. That would be fine with me.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up, but mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. having any.
Yeah, but it was a lovely scotch, and mm-hmm. I'd never tasted it before. And so with the venison and the vegetables, they were some fairly strong flavors and saltiness and spice and that sort of thing. And the Laphroaig was absolutely wonderful with it.
I have to admit, as much of a Laphroaig lover as I am, I love the Bog Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is what I picture when I'm drinking Laphroaig.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be because this was our third... No, our fourth
scotch
of
the evening.
Our fourth course and our fifth, because we actually had a little pre-dinner scotch, which was Brewoclotic, mm-hmm. which was very good.
Okay.
But I felt I was a little overwhelmed by it.
Mm.
I thought for me it was extremely intense. I didn't hate it,
mm-hmm.
but that night it was a little much for me, so mm-hmm. I want to try it again to see if maybe if that's the only thing I'm having, if I have that same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it was pretty strong.
Yeah,
I mean, like in the peatiness factor was really really strong to me.
Yeah,
and I like the peat.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. I always like to picture where I would drink such a thing, and this is what you would drink if you were staying in a castle somewhere and in the great hall with the fire going, and after a day out stalking stag, although I would never shoot a stag, but
unless you wanted some venison tartare.
Yeah, no, someone else would have to shoot it. Okay. I'm not going to do that.
John will do that. John will do that for you.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
That part.
But it's, I mean, it was, it's a very luxurious type of scotch,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so yeah. We will hunt it down. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure mm-hmm. I've seen it at Tittle Wine and More, but I don't remember how much it cost.
Mm-hmm.
So, the final course, mm-hmm. see, I've got the word in my head now,
mm-hmm.
Of the evening was a Bowmore 15
mm-hmm.
with rabbit liver pate with pickled rhubarb jelly on top. They decided, this was considered the dessert course, they decided mm-hmm. to go with a savory dessert, and I'm not going to lie, wasn't my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The Bowmore 15 was awesome.
Oh God,
I love the Bowmore 15. It's just a step up from the Bowmore 12, but mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I couldn't do the rabbit liver pate. I couldn't eat it.
I know.
Maybe I was picturing our friend's bunny. I just couldn't do it. But it didn't. I didn't even when I used the rhubarb jelly. The rhubarb jelly was really good,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I just didn't entertain.
It didn't sit.
It didn't entertain my palate very very well. But I mean, you know, hey, I'm sure somebody must like rabbit liver pate.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm not going to be judgmental about the pate.
No, here. Well, and I would have appreciated it more, I think, as an appetizer. Frankly, after the venison and the Laphroaig Loire, both of which were so rich and mm-hmm. such strong tastes. The rabbit pate was frankly just, it was too rich for me at that point. So it wasn't bad, you know, I mean, it was,
no,
their cook is amazing.
Oh, the chef there is awesome, yeah.
But, you know, I took a few spoonfuls and that was about it.
And I apologize for not remembering the chef's name.
I know, that's bad.
He was really, really good.
Yeah. But the Bowmore 15 Evidently, it's 12 years in oak, like the Beaumont 12, and then they put it in an Oloroso sherry cask for an additional 3 years.
And that was my first thought when I looked. I'm like, this has a very sherry look to it.
Yeah.
And then they said that. I'm like,
That's why.
I'm getting better at this. I actually could tell that it had a sherry look. I surprised myself.
Yes.
I patted myself on the back, trying not to break my arm.
Yeah. I know. Well, and they also then distributed some lovely dark chocolate, which also went very nicely with the Beaumont 15.
Oh, yeah, that chocolate was awesome.
That was lovely. So all in all, it was a fascinating evening. We got to taste four scotches that I'd never had before.
Mm-hmm. I had never
had all I've had is the Beaumont 12.
We had only had the Beaumont 12. That's the only one we've ever had.
And amazing food and very knowledgeable staff and consultants and everything. So thank you very much to the Chelsea Farms Oyster Bar in Olympia, Washington.
Yes, and they have another event coming up. So if you are in the area, if you are anywhere near Olympia, Washington, on July 16th from 6 to 9, they are doing Westland American Single Malt Whiskey. It says, by popular demand, we are collaborating with Westland Distillery of Seattle, Washington. These scotch-like whiskeys have gained international acclaim and will be paired with a multi-course meal designed by Chelsea Farms Executive Chef. Oh, here we go. Henri Noel? N-O-L?
Yeah.
With cocktails by beverage director and general manager Cody Goodwin. Cody's an awesome guy.
Mm-hmm.
Henri is
amazing
chef. The staff that we met were all amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you are nearby, you need to contact them quickly because these things, it's not a very large location.
They had 45 people and that pretty much packed it.
But, yeah, it was packed, but they did an awesome job, and it's at the 222 Market in downtown Olympia. If you're ever in Olympia, you need to just go to the 222 Market because there's lots of really cool places. Marlis loves the gelato.
Oh, it's
great. The gelato place. We were kind of disappointed. Apparently, they're not open on Mondays, the whole market.
I know.
And I didn't know that.
Time off. Yeah.
And so John was thinking, oh, we can have gelato afterwards. And it's like, no, they were, everything was closed. It's okay. Thankfully, we could get into the restrooms.
Yeah.
Because I drank a lot of water. A lot of water. And, wherever you live, if you have a chance to go to a whiskey and food pairing event or any kind of alcohol and food pairing, because Marlis and I have done, well, I don't know if we did food pairings. John and I did the Dungeness Crab and was it Sauvignon Blanc? If you ever have a chance to go to any kind of food pairing event.
Yeah, we did the sherry and various kinds of sherry and various kinds of food.
That was fascinating.
Yeah. So, look around your area and see what's on, what's available because it's an amazing thing.
It's a great way to learn.
Yeah.
If you're new to the whole, spirits realm, spirits,
no.
But the drinky kind.
Mm-hmm. I feel pretty woo after.
Oh, that's things. True.
Yeah.
there's that.
And in case you're wondering, we are drinking during this podcast. We're just not talking about it. I'm actually drinking some Beaumont 12.
Mm-hmm. I'm having some Abelauer.
What are you drinking, John?
This is Beaumont 12.
Oh, also. Okay. Yeah. All right. But we have several others over there we might try before we go.
Mm-hmm.
So, this has been great. We had a great time. We're not going to do the next whiskey tasting, mostly because our budget doesn't allow for another one so soon.
Uh-huh.
But we'll be doing more in the future, I think.
Uh-huh.
Did anybody want to comment on the extra credit scotch that we had while we were there? The first one you guys
tried? The Berplatte?
Oh, the Berk.
I didn't actually take many notes on that, so I don't trust my memory.
That's really good.
It was a Berplatte Unpeated Isla Barley 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really good. It was a very mild because obviously it's unpeated, so it didn't have a lot of the stereotypical flavors you would expect to find in Isla.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was very sweet tasting, and Yeah, I thought it had a strong alcohol finish, but it was really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It was pretty nice. It was a good way to start off because it wasn't overwhelming in its flavor before we got into the
ruin our palate for the whole event. And again, a special thanks to Cody for his awesome job at putting this together. Henri, the chef, and Cassie from Jim Beam. They were excellent. Cassie gave some great information about all of the the scotches that are whiskeys that we had, because the Japanese ones can't be called scotch. And Cody, I mean, when we stop people and ask questions, you know, we stop Cody, we stop Cassie, we stop the servers. We were like asking all kinds of questions, and they took the time, even though they were incredibly busy. So visit Chelsea Farms Oyster Bar. It's a great place.
Thank you.
All right.